Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now,
on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
WMAL. Let's go now. It's 8:07 on O'Connor and Company. Coming up in just 30 minutes, we're going to touch base with Mark Morano of Climate Depot. Apparently, this whole Inflation Reduction Act, not going to reduce inflation in any way whatsoever. But it is the Green New Deal, sort of in its embryonic stage. So Morano will join us then. Joining us all morning is the one and only, the incredible, I don't know how we got her, Julie Kelly. She's so great. She's
You're so obnoxious.
No, I'm sorry. Thanks for putting the name tag on. It's Julie Gunlock.
Oh, sorry.
What is wrong with me?
That Julie Kelly is pretty cool.
We love Julie Kelly.
Yeah.
She was just on Friday. That's why. We just had her on the program. And she was talking about this unbelievable raid on Mar-a-Lago.
We had Friday.
Outrage.
It's been 4 days.
Well, you know. Speaking of that raid on Mar-a-Lago, Dave Bossie joins us now, president of Citizens United. And he was part of the Trump reelection effort and certainly knows his way around politics and voting. Dave Bossie, first of all, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Sorry to tell you, Julie Kelly is not here.
I just figured that out.
I'm told that, I kid you not, that, you know, the Cook political report, has this guy been right at all in the last decade? This Cook dude, Charles Cook of the Cook Report, he tells me that the raid on Mar-a-Lago may be just the thing to help Democrats this November. Dave, is that your analysis?
Not from anything that any reasonable person has seen. No, that's the first I'm hearing about that, Larry.
Yeah.
That's kind of silly. Look, whether or not you can agree, disagree, you know, have problems with what happened in Mar-a-Lago, it has definitely been an intensifier for Republican primary voters for certain. And I think you saw that just the other day in Connecticut. Right on the heels of that, that primary was right on the heels of the raid. So today you're going to see it again in Wyoming and Alaska. I don't know if Cook is going to be right on that. But you know what? We got almost 90 days to go. And we're exhausted at this point. There's so many stories. It's such a busy time in the world. Who knows what's going to be the real element that's going to that's going to really come forward and galvanize America.
You published commentary in the Washington Times last week about this raid on Mar-a-Lago. In fact, I think this published the day after it occurred. Mm. Where you made the comparisons to President Nixon back in 72. I know everybody wants to compare, Nixon to Trump as an individual under criminal suspicion, but you actually made a very important parallel here instead.
Well, it's important, as I point out in the op-ed, Joe Biden was a young United States senator when Richard Nixon and his abuse of power, which is really what it was about, his criminal abuse of power, was uncovered. And I think Joe Biden learned a lot from it and unfortunately learned all the wrong lessons. And that's what we're seeing today, because now we're learning that Merrick Garland, he says that he, through unnamed sources at the Department of Justice, that he had to wrestle with signing this, affidavit for weeks. Well, the timeline's pretty troubling on whether it was weeks, because if you recall, the president's lawyers met with folks over these issues in an ongoing dialogue at the end of June. So, I don't know, if they moved immediately because they were going against what they were telling the president's lawyers, but it begs credulity that no one in the White House knew. And that's my biggest problem, is to raid the president's home, the former president's home, the president of the United States or the White House counsel's office knew it. And that's why there needs to be an investigation into this. What did the FBI, what did the attorney general, and what did the White House know, and when did they know it?
Yeah, you write in this piece. This piece is great, by the way, and everyone should read it. I'm going to retweet it. You said that Christopher Wray would never have taken this historically detrimental leap without direct approval from Biden and Garland. So, how in the world is Biden denying that he knew about this.
About it on Twitter.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And let me just say this. I wrote that piece with a background as the former chief investigator for the House of Representatives. And so I kind of know a little bit about this and how this works. And so I wrote this piece also before Merrick Garland finally admitted, only after, being berated, that he actually did do it, because the Department of Justice, through unnamed sources, said that he did not do that and that it was all Christopher Wray's operation and that they were throwing Christopher Wray and the FBI under the bus. And only after days of being under the scrutiny of it did Merrick Garland finally admit that it was true that he did do it. And I wrote that in advance because it's obvious to anyone who knows this. And that's why I believe it's also obvious that Merrick Garland didn't have conversations with people in the White House counsel's office, maybe the chief of staff, or any other top advisors that are running that White House, because we all know that the president really isn't, and possibly even having a conversation with the president, because, and I think it's highly likely, to raid the president's future opponent, okay, is something that the president's going to want to know about, and that's what they probably did.
So the latest go around here is Trump has said, full transparency, put it all out there, not just the search warrant, but all the affidavits and everything. DOJ is saying, yeah, we're not going to put out those affidavits because that would show our cards. It would give Trump a fighting chance in defending himself, I guess, is what they're saying. What do you make of these latest?
Well, hey, come on. This is the same garbage that they served the American people on the fake Russia story. For years, the first impeachment, the second impeachment, look, the power in this country knows no bounds, and they will use that power over you. And so that's what they're doing here. They're saying, we must stay in control of all the information, and we're going to keep you in the dark. And trust us.
Yeah.
Trust us. And that's the problem.
They've lost
the problem
trust.
They've lost the trust.
Yeah.
They have. From Jim Comey on.
Dave Bossy, as you said, you were a chief investigator there in the House. You've also worked with this president in particular on various aspects of his presidency and his campaign. When you saw that report that President Trump reached out to Merrick Garland and said, listen, this is getting a little too heated and I'd like to be a part of the solution here. Talk to me about that and whether you think that's in character with this president and what do you think President Trump is hoping to achieve here, considering how extraordinary this is, but at the same time, he knows very well how ugly quickly this could get if things aren't corrected.
Well, it's certainly not out of character for the president to reach out and try to calm things down. President Trump is a unique individual, and he recognizes, he has his finger on the pulse of America long before the mainstream media does. And so, before they figure it out, before the establishment does, before the swamp does. And so, Donald Trump is trying to solve this problem, but he also is trying to make sure that the government doesn't run amok over him. Mm. He is somebody who tried to capture the swamp, who tried to tame the swamp. And this is the swamp coming back to get him. That's what this is about. It's been like this for almost seven years, Larry. Guys, this has never changed since the day he came down that escalator. They have been after him. This is a continuation because they know the 75 million Americans that voted for him in 2020. There's an argument about whether there was election integrity or not. Put that aside. In 2024, they don't want to go against him, so they're trying to remove him from being a candidate using different methods and means. That should be problematic for every person here in the United States.
Dave Bossy, Citizens United and a Republican extraordinaire. Thanks for joining us, my friend. And good 90 days until, like, actually, no, less than 90 days. We're 3 months from Election Day today, and I know you've got your sights on some seats in Maryland that we're going to win.
We absolutely must. We're looking at Neil Parrott picking up the sixth congressional district. And then Nicole Ambrose in Maryland 2 up north of Baltimore is another race that is exciting, and Nicoli needs all the help she can get, taking on Dutch Ruppersberger, who's a career politician. So we're going to have a good year. We're going to pick up some seats in Maryland, and I'm excited about it.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot. That's Dave Bossy, boys and girls. Thanks for joining us at 8:16. CBS Morning News did a segment on how children are facing high obesity rates right now, and they're not nearly as aerobically fit as the generation before, their parents. But the reason why, now you, I know each and every one of you right now are saying, well, yes, and we know why. You know why, right, Julie?
I know why.
Why are children not as fit and active as they had been before?
Oh, I don't know, COVID maybe, COVID shutdowns?
You're wrong.
I am wrong.
Yes. Can I tell you what the actual results were? Here, listen.
A new study showing how climate change, specifically higher temperatures, is making our children more inactive and more obese.
It's climate change.
I'm so mad about this.
Go ahead. Explode.
Oh, I'm going to explode. I mean, let's talk about Randy Weingarten normalizing screen time, right? Kids on a screen, not going to school, not walking to school, no recess. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about in Alexandria, Virginia, where the mayor, Justin Wilson, shut down the basketball courts during COVID. Yeah. He roped them off. He took the net. They took the nets down.
Yeah, and
they literally put tape around playgrounds, right, so that kids could not go outside and play on a playground. Okay.
Yeah.
It is, and this happened all over the country, not just Alexandria, but that's a great example.
Oh, in California, they actually used bulldozers to fill in the skateboard park.
The skate park. That's right. Yeah. That's right. That is why. And again, I think it's really important here to bring up the screens again.
Yes.
We have a normalized 8 hours of nothing but staring at a screen, okay?
Instead of going out and playing.
And it's also because the CDC so scared people. You do have a demographic of parents who are still terrified of letting their kids play and be with other kids.
Well, we just talked to Bethany Baddell, who sent her kids to summer camp, and they had masks on.
Seriously,
at the
everything. Is climate change.
A new study showing how climate change, specifically higher temperatures, is making our children more inactive and more obese.
I'm going to start blaming everything. I'm going to stop dieting and just say,
climate change.
It's climate change.
Yeah, it's
I'm going to let my house go. It's climate change.
Climate
it's
change.
A mess because of climate change.
Absolutely.
Everything.
It's climate change. It's ridiculous. I got to tell you, I remember being a kid. This is there's so much irony in this. First of all, I'm pretty sure that every single generation for the last 30 years had this exact same report. This generation is not as active and more obese than the generation before it. I remember when I was there, that's when the Presidential Council on Physical Fitness with Arnold Schwarzenegger teaching us how to do pull-ups in our schools and all that stuff because this generation is not fit. The only difference is now they're blaming it on climate change because, of course, they are. But they always say this, and they're probably right. You look at old movies from the 50s, like everybody's so skinny.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Amazing.
But there's a lot. Look, there's a lot of factors. There are a ton of factors that contribute to rising
obesity. But it ain't climate change.
But it isn't climate change.
When I was a kid, it would never be too hot for me to go outside. You turn on the sprinklers, problem solved.
That's right.
I would spend every moment outside. My mom used to call me a little brown bean because I had so much sun. I was so brown. I was so tan from playing all summer long. Is there any child
a little
in
brown
America?
Bean. You better be careful. You're going to get canceled for that, by the way.
For saying a little brown bean?
I'm sure
it was my mom
I'm
who
sure
said it. Cancel my
someone
mom.
Someone will object.
Cancel
because,
my mom,
you know
not
how
me.
The word brown gets
I was
us in
tan.
Trouble.
I
so,
was pretty brown, man.
Well, I will tell you that
is there any child in America right now who their mom says, go outside and play? Oh, I can't. It's too hot.
You know what used to get kids to go outside? Boredom and chores.
Thank
okay?
you.
My mom couldn't find me in the sun because she'd make me, do like dust something. So I was always outside.
Dust. It's always
and
something
you know what
to
parents,
dust.
Kids are not bored now because they have tablets. Get your kids off those screens. Do not give them a phone with a full data plan. Protect your kids. And this is part of it. Technology is a real problem of giving kids too much technology. They will watch YouTube until they pass out.
It's not as big a problem as climate change.
Oh, that's right.
It's 8:22. Jamie Raskin is a fine member of the House of Representatives here in the greater Washington area, wouldn't you say? He represents Silver Spring so well.
He is something.
He really is. He was asked, here's the thing. You're paying a ton more for eggs and milk and meat and, well, everything right now. And Jamie Raskin, he likes to say that he helped things out by passing the Inflation Reduction Act. So he was asked yesterday about what part of the bill is going to be the best part about reducing inflation. Here, listen.
And what parts of the bill do you think will quickly work on that specifically?
Next question.
I'd like to. I'd like to have a conversation with him.
That's the best. What part of the bill is going to be the best part about lowering inflation?
Next question.
I'm done with you.
Nerve.
Move. Who are you? Who do you think you are? All right, coming up, Mark Marotta, Climate Depot. We'll ask him about the climate bill. Oh, I'm sorry, inflation reduction bill. Hey, Jamie Raskin, you just passed the Inflation Reduction Act. What part of it is going to reduce inflation?
Next question.
Next question. Mm. Don't bother me with details like that. We've got a planet to save, Julie Gunlock.
Your suffering is good.
That's right. And what was yesterday's Jennifer Granholm one? You know, what will people be able to do? What in this bill will save them money right now? All right, first you buy all new windows.
First you spend $100,000.
Yes, solar panels on the roof. Mm-hmm. Get yourself a new electric car. Get all new appliances. Forgot about that part.
Yeah.
And then if you're lucky, maybe if you dot every I and cross every T, next year on your tax return you get 30% off.
Yep.
There you go.
Super.
Saving your money.
But we're going to raise your taxes, so.
Joining us right now is Mark Marotta, ClimateDepot.com. We saw this coming, Mark, by the way. I mean, you previewed this bill saying this has nothing to do with inflation. It has everything to do with, if it has anything to do with inflation, it's about creating more inflation because this really is the baby Green New Deal. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Larry. Yeah, I mean, this bill has taken on a life of its own. Not only is it the anti-inflation bill, but it's the Save the Planet bill. And as we all know, this has nothing to do with inflation other than increasing it through more spending, more debt, probably more pressure on interest rates. This makes no sense. So Nancy Pelosi doubles down and says the earth is angry.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
God.
Goes on this-
We've got it. Hang on.
How can they vote against the planet? Mother Earth. Mother Earth gets angry from time to time. And this legislation will help us address all of that.
Well, Mark, it's hard to argue with that science.
Okay, let's take her seriously for a moment. First of all, we've tried. Civilizations have tried appeasing Mother Earth. The Aztecs had human slaughter. This is a long tradition of pagan rituals. We had witchcraft trials in the Middle Ages in Salem, Massachusetts. By the way, the witchcraft trials in Massachusetts, the judges were primarily made up of Harvard graduates. These were judges educated at Harvard, the best and brightest
in
society.
To be fair, they were Calvinists.
They blame them for causing, for causing bad weather and crop failure. So if you took Nancy Pelosi at her word, first of all, this bill, according to analysis, won't even affect global carbon dioxide emissions. So it couldn't possibly affect the planet. The planet's not going to be angry or mad one way or the other, depending on what they do on this bill. This is now, as I said before, peak climate insanity. We have a massive bill that's named the opposite of what it'll do on inflation, and now they're saying it's going to stop an angry earth. And this is what's passing for a civilized discourse in Washington, D.C. right now.
Well, you got a new poll out. The number of Americans worried about climate change has fallen 9 points to 35%. So this is not a winning issue, and yet Democrats are acting like this bill is going to help them in this election. Do you think voters are really going to appreciate this bill, this inflation increasing bill?
Well, I mean, all this is, I can't imagine. They've seen it all before. They've seen this movie before. This is Obama's green stimulus part two, except on steroids. And Obama's first round back during his first term, which was, it was $100 billion, literally funded all of Al Gore's companies. It funded all the Democratic donors. It funded things like Solyndra, all the solar wind, all the hype and hoopla. I thought we saved the planet back then, but here we are in 2022, saving it all over again. There is no criteria by which to make the earth less angry. So I think voters, unless you're in a district that, some small congressional district that's going to get some, benefit from all these mandates, which is what a lot of these congressmen count on, especially in swing districts. No, voters, all they're going to see is more debt, more inflation, more supply chain, Washington continuing to be out of control.
Our guest is Mark Marotta. His website is ClimateDepot.com. He publishes that, and it's a fantastic site for all of the truth and facts and reality about all this climate nonsense. But your book, I want to talk about the book. It's The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown. They're saying it out loud, Mark. I mean, everybody, this is a conspiracy theory. No. We've seen the conferences that they're having over there in Europe, in Geneva. Geneva, where Davos. This Davos. Is a very real thing. They really do sort of want to use COVID-19 and what we've just been through as this reset to sort of get everything that they've always wanted. And this is a little bit of it, what we're seeing here with this bill, isn't it?
It is. In fact, you know, in my book, The Great Reset, I explain that they go back. If you go back in history to the Roman Republic, it's the abuse of emergency powers.
Mother Earth.
The abuse of these emergency powers have stripped people of their rights. And this is what Nancy Pelosi, and that's what Joe Biden wants to do. He wants to declare a national climate emergency. Think back to the COVID emergency.
Yep.
The COVID emergency gave governors and mayors dictatorial powers overnight. Stay-at-home orders, vaccine mandates, mask mandates. You couldn't canceling weddings, funerals. You can't go to church. But, hey, Walmart was open. They want to do the same thing with climate now. And that's where this is ultimately heading. The Washington Post reporting Joe Biden either before the midterms or probably just after, declare a national climate emergency, 130 new executive powers. You're going to empower governors, mayors to limit automobile travel, thermostats, energy use, all under the guise of a climate emergency. This bill is helping set that up. It's also overturning the recent Supreme Court decision. It's just about empowering the government, stripping away citizens, and that climate and COVID are all part of this great reset.
Yeah, that EPA decision that you're talking about, which frankly is more significant as the Dobbs case was in overturning Roe v. Wade in terms of how our federal government is run, that EPA decision actually could have even a bigger impact. We got to leave it there. Mark Morano, we'll keep an eye on it. Only a new Republican majority and a robust challenge in the courts will stop Biden from doing this, and that's exactly what we need. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Well, the Earth gods will be happy with this bill. We can tell you
exactly.
That.
Exactly. It's time for let the chanting commence.
Mother Earth. Mother Earth gets angry from time to time. And this legislation will help us address
right.
all of that.
It's time to get down to the Aztec pyramid. Thank you, Mark.
Okay. Thank you.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
This is quite a story coming out of the state of Washington. It focuses on an 80-year-old woman named Julie Jamin. So Julie Jamin did what she always does or what she has been doing for decades now. She went to her local YMCA to swim. Good for Julie. She's 80 years old. She stays in physical condition. And it's with a daily swim.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are, want to stay.
She's a regular
fit.
There.
She's a regular. She's been going to this YMCA for years. Not anymore. She's been banned from the YMCA.
Yeah.
She's been banned from her local swimming pool. Why? What is her offense? Well, she went in to change into her bathing suit, as she has for decades, and she looked to her right, and there was a man, a naked man, changing in the ladies'
into
room.
A woman's bathing suit.
Into a woman's bathing suit, of course. Yes, I'm sure you all can connect the dots
and
here.
And he was near little girls.
That's right. And so Julie did not like that at her Mountain View YMCA community pool out in Port Townsend, Washington. And she's been going there, by the way, for 35 years.
Yes.
She went to complain to the person at the front, Rowan DeLuna, the pool's aquatic manager. She complained and said, this is a problem. There's a person. And by the way, I love the write-up here in redux.info is the website. Jamin observed the male through the opening of the shower curtain for a moment, shocked by his presence and became increasingly distressed by his proximity to the children. She quietly asked, do you have a penis? I don't know why I'm giving her a southern accent, but it's more charming that way. The male refused to answer, prompting Jamin to demand he leave the locker room. Went to the pool's manager and said, you've got to get this person out. There's a male in the women's restroom. There are little girls in there, fully naked, and you've got to get this man out of there. DeLuna then turned on this 80-year-old woman and said that she was being discriminatory and threatened to call the police.
Yep.
And now she's been banned. They just had a demonstration in front of the YMCA. Here is Julie Jamin starting the presentation.
Miss Julie Jamin, the one that we have all gathered for here today. We're all here today for all of us. I'm the old lady. Hello, everybody.
She's great. She's everybody's grandma, this woman.
Yep.
So they're doing this demonstration, trying to tell her story and trying to get her reinstated at the pool.
Yeah.
So what happens, Julie Gunlock?
Some trans activists
They came, show up.
They showed up. They got violent. They tore down a suffrage flag.
Yeah, they had little suffragette flags and banners in the background.
Scaring her.
They vandalized it. They started intimidating her, drowning her out. That's her calling for the police to try to get calm here. Again, this is a First Amendment protected demonstration,
yep.
And outside this YMCA, trying to get her reinstated to the swimming pool that she's been swimming at for over 3 decades. And she was shouted down, screamed down. She's been called a bigot.
Yeah.
Because as an 80-year-old woman, she thinks that it's not right for a man to get changed and get naked in front of her and other little girls.
Yeah, it's sickening. It is sickening how she was treated. When we did our sports rally, we had a group show up screaming. They had, it was actually pretty funny because they had pots and pans and drums, and they were also trying to drown us out. They couldn't. We had microphones, and we were fine. But this is what they do. They were screaming, and they tore down, they vandalized the podium area where she was speaking. I got very close to her, really scared her. It's
yeah,
all
you can
on,
see you on her
see
face.
It.
There's a video, and we'll tweet it out. She looks terrified, actually, that all these people
are. But this is what they do.
Her.
They don't want you to speak. They don't want to talk about these things.
Yeah.
They want to drown you out.
The male in the locker room was identified by a local citizen journalist as Clementine Adams, a transgender employee of the YMCA, though Jamon says he wasn't displaying any indication he was staff. According to a GoFundMe managed by Clementine Adams, the transgender individual who invaded the locker room and created this situation, he has a GoFundMe account. He's
of course,
trying to raise
of
money
course.
Off of,
course.
Of this thing. According to his GoFundMe, he began identifying as a woman in December of 2021, but only announced his transition several months ago. In response to her ban on August 1st, Jamon, who has been an active citizen of Port Townsend for 40 years, chose to stand outside of the pool with a sign intended to inform other women that males were using the women's facility.
This is sickening.
This is where we are now. And the mob is choosing to back the
And so
guy.
Is the YMCA, by
and
the way.
And the YMCA is
YMCA is a national organization.
Well.
So you're, I urge everyone to let YMCA
Yeah. Let
no,
your local
headquarters.
Chapter know what you mean.
It seems like another institution has fallen to the woke mob.
Let your dues do the talking.
Yes.
It's 8:53.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.